Crossway today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
When we see you, we find strength to face today. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. In your presence, all our fears are washed away.
Cause when we see you,
cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day.
Cause when we see you,
cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day.
And in your presence,
in your presence.
Yeah.
words that come from our heart this morning. Forever you are faithful. Forever you are strong. You are righteous and good. And Father, we just love to sing of your goodness this morning. Holy Spirit, let praise rise in us this morning. Let worship and desire for you, Jesus, come out of our heart. May we be able to express it freely today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Fact that we declare that this morning.
The Lord
Welcome to you and welcome to those joining us on Facebook and Church Online, wherever you are around the world. We're glad you're part of the Crossway community. And welcome to Pastor Edie, who could think of nothing better to do on her holidays today than to be in church. Welcome. My wife is a great gardener. Some of you here today may love gardening. You may have a green thumb like she does. She's very good at growing fresh, healthy, organic fruit and veggies. She's good at that because she understands the product she's trying to grow. She understands the times when to plant and when not to plant. She gets out in the garden and waters, and she'll happily weed and look after the plants and get her hands dirty And as a result, our family benefits from lots of healthy fruit and veggies. We had a big garden in our old home in Newcastle, and she's slowly developing a new garden where we're living now. My head says to me, I want to be a good gardener. You see, in my old house in Newcastle, in the backyard, at one stage, we had chickens for the kids, we had ducks, we had baby goats and a couple of sheep. I wanted to be the urban farmer. But I don't really like getting out in the garden and getting my hands dirty. You know, I don't really care about, is there a right time to plant and when not to plant. I just like to throw the seeds out and hope for the best. You know, and then Megan tell me I've planted the seeds in the wrong place or the wrong time. I don't like weeding. Who likes weeding? I don't like weeding. I don't like kind of getting out there and having to daily toil with the garden. My head says that I want to be a good gardener, but I don't put the effort in. I don't put the time in. It's a bit like the parable of the watermelon story. It's a pilgrim parable. My son, my five-year-old Ali, he loves watermelons. Ever since he's been a baby, he could sit down and wants to devour watermelons. And so one day, out in Mum's garden, he says, Dad, can we grow watermelons? Megan's at work, and of course, Farmer Scott says, Ali, can we grow watermelons? So we zip down to Bunnings and we buy some seeds, and I don't read the back of the pack or the instructions. I just throw the seeds out amongst the tomatoes and the lettuce and the carrots. And Megan comes home and she says, what have you been doing? And I said, oh, we've been planting watermelons. And she says, it's the wrong time of the year. And I said, relax, they'll grow. Anyway, a couple of weeks go by. And what does Ali want to see? Ali wants to see the crop. You know, he's a kid, he's impatient. We're about to drive back to Newcastle in a couple of weeks. We'll only be in Blackburn, and Ali will be saying, are we there yet, you know? And so week after week, he's looking for his watermelon. Megan was at work, 12-hour shift at the hospital, and I was having a, let's just say, a challenging parenting day at home with the children. And so I got an idea. Kids are getting ready to go to bed. I zip down to Woolworths. You know where this is going. So I get this big, beautiful watermelon, and out in the dark, I put it right where the seeds were, moving the carrots and tomatoes. I come inside and Megan said, what are you doing outside? I don't worry, it's a bit of gardening, it's a bit of gardening. The next morning, Ali wakes up and there is the watermelon. And he says, Dad, it's grown. And he comes and he picks it up. It's so heavy for him. And he comes inside. And then my daughter walks over to me. And very quietly she says to me, Dad, why is there a sticker on that watermelon? And I said to my daughter, Imogen, if you want to stay a part of our family for the rest of your life, you will not say a word about that sticker. And Ali enjoyed his homegrown watermelon. I tell you the parable of the watermelon today because, if I'm honest, just like my gardening, I can all too often want that to be true of my spiritual life as well. I want fruit in my life. You want fruit. Every one of you who are as a follower of Jesus who walked in here this morning, or if you're watching online, if you were asked, do you want to be more like Jesus today? You would say yes. But are we willing to do what it takes? Are we willing to do what it takes? Do we want fruit without the time and the cost and the challenges that go into producing fruit in our lives? J. Adams says this great quote, we want to order godliness, we want to order Christ-likeness and pick it up on Friday. That's the world we live in, a world of, you know, drive-through, a world of immediacy. We want it now. Just like Ali wanted the watermelon now. We want fruit. I want to be more like Jesus. But am I willing to do what it takes for Christ's likeness to become more real and evident in me? That's the question for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your incredible love for us. And we're reminded this morning as we open up a subject and we're going to deal with some pretty challenging stuff in our lives, that you're not a God who beats us with a stick, but you beckon us with love. You're a God who wants the best for us. You're a God who already knows every one of us here today and what our needs are and what your yearning for our life is. And so we would pray that simple prayer that Pastor Tim has reminded us of this month. Come, Holy Spirit. Come afresh, Holy Spirit, and speak into our lives this morning and give us faith and courage that we might be willing and open to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming out of the series before Easter of looking at Jesus' teaching in the upper room, we then entered into Easter and the cross, the resurrection and the ascension. And now we've moved into this Holy Spirit series. And whether you've been coming along on a Sunday here or joining us online, Pastor Heather put this passage before us last week. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And as she reminded us of last week, as Jesus is about to leave the earth, as Jesus' earthly ministry is about to come to an end with the cross and the resurrection, the risen Jesus going back to the Father, Jesus promises us the Spirit, the Paraclete, the same word that's used of Jesus elsewhere in the New Testament, that the Spirit of Jesus will come to be with his people. As Pastor Tim reminded us of a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit is available to all of us here today. If we're a follower of Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit's desire to be at work in our life today. It's not just for a chosen few, a special group. It's for all of us. All of us. New to faith, been a Christian many years. It's the Holy Spirit's desire today to be at work in our lives with the primary purpose of transforming us that we might look more and more like Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's goal. I want to be more like Jesus. Today, the Holy Spirit's desire is to shape Scott Pilgrim more into the person that God wants me to be. Last week, we looked at the power of the Spirit and the fact that God gifts us with different gifts. Hospitality, service, leadership, prophecy, tongues, preaching, service, all of us gifted in different ways. And as we were challenged last week, the calling of Jesus that we might activate those gifts, that we might use those gifts, that we might step out in power, Jesus' power, to serve each other and to serve our community and see the kingdom grow. And this week, we focus on the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit gifting us, the fruit of the Spirit developing the character of Jesus within us. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit when it comes to his fruit, that we might look more and more like Jesus in my speech, in my behavior, in my ethics, in my values, in how I live my life day to day, in what I think and what I do, that more and more the Holy Spirit might make me and mold me and shape me more into a person who reflects Jesus to others around me. We live in a world where so many people want to look like others. You know, last year in the United States, 1.3 million cosmetic surgeries and billions of dollars spent as people surgically want to look like somebody else. My four-year-old's a bit of a tomboy, and she's got long hair, and that's a struggle, particularly when Dad has to brush it. And so she said yesterday, "Mum, can I finally have a haircut?" So she's walking around here this morning with short hair, and you know what she said this morning? "Now that I've got short hair, Mum, I haven't got to wear dresses to church anymore because I'm just like a boy." She's wearing pants today. She wants to look like somebody else. Well, what about these gentlemen here? There's a famous festival in parks in New South Wales every year. Big country town in New South Wales. The population doubles once a year when 10,000 people rock up looking like Elvis. We used to have a Baptist care work there, and I met a man at one of the festivals last year. You know, he spent $100,000 over the last 10 years wanting to look more like Elvis. Friends, our calling is clear. We're not called to dress up and look like some old rock and roll king. We're called to be people of the King. We're called to be people whose lives are daily shaped and molded into the image of Jesus. That is my primary calling. That is your primary calling. Before I'm called to be the executive pastor of this church, before I'm called to be a great husband or a great parent, and I want to be that and I want to grow in that, my primary calling is to be a follower of Jesus. Whether you're here today or whether you're wherever you're watching across the globe, that is your primary calling, to reflect Jesus, to grow in Christ's likeness. And then you know what? The Holy Spirit knows it. Those other things fall into place. Because as the Holy Spirit makes me more like Jesus, I become a better husband. I become a better father. I become better in what I do in serving Jesus and others, because it's less of me and it's more of God. It's more of the Holy Spirit at work in me. That is our calling, Crossway. Look at this verse to grab hold of today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Jesus. Can we just pause just for a second this morning to take hold of that afresh? We've got up this morning and we've probably busily gone through our routines to get to church, and we love God and we're here to worship and we love being part of the Crossway community, and we've got things we're going to do today. But can we just pause for a second? Or if you're watching around the world, whatever you're doing today, can we pause for a second? The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives today. The Holy Spirit is here in this moment. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life as a follower of Jesus now. The reality is we're either helping the Holy Spirit in that process or we're hindering that process. We're cooperating with what the Holy Spirit wants to do right now in our lives. He might even be speaking to us and challenging us now, and we can decide to be open and hear, or we can seek to block the Spirit out again. The Holy Spirit is here now, Crossway, wanting to mold us and shape each one of us into people who reflect Jesus. So what does that look like? What does that look like to look more like Jesus? What is the Holy Spirit's work? Paul understood that we needed some kind of handle, some human understanding of what that might look like. What does Christ's likeness look like? So Paul gave us the picture of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. He says, and the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus looks like this. It's love, Christ-like love. It's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's meekness, it's self-control. We'll come back to that list a little later this morning. But he gives us that picture. And even now, as the Holy Spirit is at work in us, the Spirit would want to be challenging us this morning to say, does my life increasingly reflect those character traits? When my wife or my kids or my team or others around me look at me, are they seeing more of that fruit in my life? And you just can't go out and throw a watermelon in the backyard and produce a crop like that. It's a lifelong journey, but it begins as we allow the Holy Spirit each day to do his work within us, the fruit of the Spirit. Paul invites us to consider afresh those character traits, those character qualities, and to ask ourselves, are they evident and growing in my life? Because the reality is we can't do it on our own. You know, if you take nothing else home today but that gem from God, then that could change your life. Because if you're trying to manufacture Christ's likeness today in your own life, you just can't do it. Take it from me. I've tried. I'd like to tell you I'm some young whipping snapper, 30 to 40-year-old, who has learnt that, but you sung Happy 50th to me last week, so you know how old I am. And one thing I've learnt, the more I try to manufacture love in my family, the more I mess it up. The more I try and in my own strength become patient, the more I mess it up. The more I try and address issues in my life that I might look more like Jesus, I get in the way. I can't do it on my own. Crossway, if you hear nothing else this morning, it may be this morning that you open up your hand for the first time, or you open up your hand afresh and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Because we can just give up. It can just get all too hard. That's what happened to a man called Fred, who was a part of a church community that I pastored a number of years ago. Fred had been a passionate follower of Jesus. He'd been actively involved in ministry leadership. He'd worked with kids in this particular church for many years, but Fred had a problem with anger. Fred had a critical spirit. He was too easy to be critical of others. And Fred liked to get his own way. And for a while, I imagine, I didn't know him in those days, but I imagine for some time he allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with him and he tried to grow in those issues. But a point came where every week you just saw his anger outflow. You saw his critical spirit. You saw his hardness of heart. He would meet the preacher in the foyer every Sunday, no matter who it was, or the worship leader. And the first thing he would say is, "Let me tell you where you got it wrong today." He'd pull you apart. He'd send nasty notes. His wife came up to me one day and said, "Can you please help me change Fred?" I said, "I can't change Fred. Only the Holy Spirit can change Fred." And you know what? Sadly, Fred threw in the towel. He gave up. And he died a sad, grumpy, painful old man. He just gave up. It was all too hard. Yes, we can give up, or we can give up. We can give up. We can give up control of our lives and say, "Holy Spirit, come afresh, because I can't do Christ's likeness on my own. I need you, Holy Spirit, to come and to shape me and to mold me and to prune me and to create me into the person that you want me to be." And Crossway, this morning, that means addressing some tough stuff in our lives. But if we want to be the people that God wants us to be, we need to be willing to do that. And knowing that, again, God doesn't beat us up this morning with guilt, but he beckons us with love. Because his desire is that we be the people we were created to be. Look at this verse, quote I should say. "To truly be free, to be the people Jesus wants us to be, we most of all need to be free of ourselves, our sinful, self-centered ways that keep getting in the way of what the Spirit wants to do in us." It might be you're here this morning and you know your marriage isn't what it should be. You know your marriage isn't what God would want it to be. You might think, "I just keep messing up in that relationship." It may be today you open your hand up and you acknowledge that and you say, "I can't do this in my own strength anymore, God. Come, Holy Spirit, come." It might be here this morning you're struggling as a parent, you're putting your best efforts in, but it seems so hard. You're doing it in your own strength, and it might be this morning there's a sense where you have to open your hand up afresh and say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." It could be here this morning and deep down you know that you grapple every day with anger and your family pays a price because of that anger. You might wear a mask even here on a Sunday morning and it might not be seen, but it could be this morning you need to open up your hand and say, "God, I don't want to be remembered as an angry person. Come, Holy Spirit, come." Could even be that there is sin in your life that no one else even knows about, pushed to the recesses, but you know that that sin is holding you down, weighing you down, preventing you from being the person that God has called you to be. And whether you're here this morning or watching online, it may be this morning your prayer is, "Come, Holy Spirit, and free me from that." Because Paul knew that was the battle. Paul knew that was the daily battle. It's my daily battle. It's yours as well. It's self versus spirit. Will Scott Pilgrim get in the way in his sinful, selfish nature, or will the Holy Spirit increasingly take control of my life in shaping me to be the person God wants me to be? Look at what Paul says. We haven't got time to read all of Galatians 5 today. Let me encourage you, take it home. Read Galatians 5 this week. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you through this chapter. Verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Self or spirit? Verse 13, "You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love." The character of Jesus. Self versus spirit. Verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit. the Spirit of Jesus, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Sin. Self versus Spirit. Verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. The daily battle of self and Spirit. Paul knew what it was like to live a life in chains. He lived as this proud religious man, but then he came to meet Jesus and his life was transformed. Religion was demolished as he entered into personal, loving relationship with Jesus. And he looks back on his life and he sees the chains. He sees self-righteousness and his self-centeredness and the sin in his life and his arrogance and all the darkness in his life. And he realizes only the Holy Spirit can set me free to be the person that God has called me to be. And he says, be free in Jesus. But Paul knew he could only do that as we can. In the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so he offers a contrast list. He offers some examples of sinful nature, unholy and immoral living, idolatry and demonic activity, hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, self-centeredness, a complaining and critical spirit, a feeling that everyone else is wrong, wrong doctrine, envy and murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and the list could go on. This is hard, but I need to say it this morning humbly because I've been saying it to myself all week. If there are things on that list that you recognize are still prone in your behavior, if you know that you still struggle daily with anger, or there's issues of jealousy or resentment or bitterness, if you know that you're overly critical or discouraging, if you know that you're not in a good relationship with others in your family, whatever it might be, if we own that this morning and we invite the Spirit to change us, God promises us with his grace and his love and forgiveness that is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone who can change that in our lives. I can read 101 Steps to Being a Patient Person. I can read that book 37 times. It might give me a couple of clues, but it's not going to change me. Holy Spirit, come. This morning, you already know, here or online, if the Holy Spirit is tapping you on the shoulder, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you this morning that there are issues that you need to deal with, can I invite you in love and affirming the grace of God that you might do that today and give that Holy Spirit the opportunity to change you and to mold you and to reshape you into the person that God wants you to be, that you might be free of what holds you back. Because ultimately, we sell short the cross if we claim salvation, but we continue to live with those things that hold us back. We sell short the cross if we fail to deal with the things that prevent the Holy Spirit from shaping me more into the person that Jesus wants me to be. Come, Holy Spirit. Because the reality is we either live with the shackle of sin or increasingly we live with the character of Jesus being displayed in our life. And so we go back to that list. We open the window again to Christ's likeness and we see it before us here today. Love. Christ-like love. Joy. Not happiness. Paul doesn't say that we should be happy. That's circumstance-driven, you know. If life's tough and you're walking around today and you're saying, you know, I've got the joy down in my heart, that's not joy. In the middle of tough situations, still knowing the joy of God evident in our lives. Peace, eirene, shalom, the peace that passes all understanding, supernatural peace. Patience, kindness. I was at a church a couple of years ago to preach and a fairly unhappy looking gentleman got up to do the announcements as the host and he reminded people that next Sunday is Kindness Sunday and we still need people to sign up on the roster. That's not kindness. kindness of Jesus oozes out of us. It's unsolicited. People see it in us. Goodness, being a good person, not in our own strength, but as the Holy Spirit makes us godly and holy and good and honourable. Faithfulness, being trustworthy and loyal and respected. Meekness, being humble. Not weakness, but meekness, displaying the humility of Jesus, that our attitude will be to put others before ourselves. And self-control. The Holy Spirit has come that we might live with a life of self-control. Look at that list this morning. There it is, the fruit of the Spirit before us this morning. Here's the challenge. Paul expects that as followers of Jesus, those character qualities will be evident in our lives today, and they will continue to grow in our lives today as followers of Jesus. Note that the word is fruit. Sometimes it's incorrectly written, the fruits of the Spirit. It's fruit. You know, we don't get to look at the board here this morning or open up Galatians 5 and read the fruit of the Spirit passage. We don't get to open it up and it's kind of a multiple choice. You know, well, I'll take kindness, but I'll let patience go. You know, I'll take goodness, but I'll pass on meekness. Paul expects that that character mix will increasingly be evident in our lives as we reflect Jesus. And then he goes on and he sets his high bar. Because he says to Timothy, and Timothy, people ought to see your progress in these things. Wow. When my wife and kids look at me, do they see more of the fruit of the Spirit now than they did 12 months ago? In 6 months' time, will they see more of Jesus in me than they did 6 months before? That's Paul's challenge to us. That's Paul's encouragement to us, because we know that people who display the fruit of the Spirit, we know people who reflect Jesus, make an impact in our lives. I've only got to sit opposite Pastor Tim Pierce over a coffee and Jesus oozes back at me. And he makes an impact on my life because I see Jesus at work in Tim's life and the desire for authenticity. And as a person being molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit, he makes a mark in my life. Our challenge? To obediently live in a way that creates the environment in which God's Spirit can act. Why is my wife a far better gardener than I am? Because she creates the environment that fruit can grow in. She weeds the weeds. She waters and nurtures. She plants in the right season. She toils and looks after the garden. And she knows that as she prepares the ground, the rest will take care of itself. Our challenge? To create the environments in which God can act. Friends, there are some of us living lives today that is hindering and preventing the Spirit from doing what the Spirit wants to do. And God would say to us in grace, come, Holy Spirit, afresh into our lives. What does it look like? What does that look like as we wrap up this morning? It means we stop trying to do things in our own strength. I've had to learn that lesson the hard way over many years. But I'm thankful that God continues to do that renewing work within me, reminding myself that when I get in the way, I mess it up. But when I cooperate with the Holy Spirit, I allow the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do. Stop trying to do things in our own strength. And we need to repent and turn from sin. Now, we don't get up every Sunday and call people to repent from their sin. But it's appropriate sometimes, as we open up God's word, that we do that. And I know that whenever I've lived in a season where I haven't addressed sin in my life, then I block the Holy Spirit from doing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so I say to you graciously and lovingly, as a fellow follower on the journey with you, Is there sin in your life today that you need to once and for all name and bring to the cross and deal with? Because you know, even if no one else knows, you know that it's hindering you from being the person that Jesus wants you to be. Addiction, pornography, promiscuity, bitterness, a hardness of heart, all those human messy things that get in the way. Paul wants us to be free. Or it could be renewing your commitment to spiritual disciplines. That doesn't mean you've got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow on a cold Melbourne morning and every day get up at 4 a.m. for the rest of your days. Not at all. It means finding the rhythm that works for you. But as we open up God's word and as we pray, that makes a difference. As we practice spiritual disciplines with rhythm, as we open up God's word, as we pray, we invite the Holy Spirit. We create the platform. We create the environments in which God could act. Maybe the Bible's a little dusty. Maybe your prayer life's a little rusty. Maybe it's time to acknowledge that and to step out in faith today and do something about that. Or maybe it's about associating with godly examples. You know, when we hang out with Holy Spirit people, the Holy Spirit rubs off. When we hang out with godly people, the Holy Spirit turns up. Whether it's in your life group or in a community of faith in the church, whether it's coming alongside an older couple and seeking mentors in your life, whether it's coming alongside godly friends, or maybe even moving away from people who hinder you in your journey. Who are we hanging out with? I know my life's been so positively influenced by Spirit-filled, godly Jesus examples. I need them in my life. And simply and finally, it could be praying what might seem like an incredibly basic prayer, but it's an incredibly supernatural prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, each day at the beginning of my day, that you might allow me to be the person that you want me to be. That's our prayer today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're going to come to a time of prayer this morning. Whether you're here or whether you're watching online anywhere around the world, I want to invite you to pray with me. You know, sometime late last year, the pastoral team here under Dale's leadership, under our senior pastor's leadership, met together and determined under God what themes ought to be spoken about this year. And it was decided that at this season it would be a good opportunity to speak afresh about the Holy Spirit. We've seen our senior pastor remind us of that already this morning. You know, over the past month, I've had many conversations with people saying, wow, I've needed that reminder. Wow, we've needed that reminder. Wow, we've needed that fresh teaching because we want more of the Spirit in our lives, or we've been closed to what the Spirit was doing, or wow, as a church, this is a tipping point season. Come, Holy Spirit, come. That's no accident, is it? That's no accident. That's the Spirit at work. The Spirit saying, now is a season for us, the Spirit people, to be refreshed by Him. There are marriages here today. There are marriages here today that need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. There are mums and dads here today who need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in their parenting because you feel like giving up. There are people here today who know that there is sin in their life that hinders them from being the person they desperately yearn to be, and they think, oh wow, I'm a terrible sinful person. You're not at all, you're ordinary, you're human. But you need the Holy Spirit to come. As you come in repentance and confession today, you need the Holy Spirit to come and do a fresh work in you. There are people here today who had a passionate fire in their belly about Jesus, but it's become pretty stale. And that fire needs to be fanned afresh. And I say that to you as someone who knows brokenness in my own life, who knows the renewal and the refreshment of the Holy Spirit in my life, and who knows that I can't do life on my own and seek to be the person God wants me to be. I can only become more like Jesus every day. I pray, Holy Spirit, mold me and shape me. And yeah, I can still mess up, but God forgives me and I get back up on my feet again and pray that prayer, Holy Spirit, come. I sense across this auditorium today and wherever you're watching on Facebook or on church online, I sense there are people who need to do business afresh with God today. And so as Terry and the team come to lead us in a song this morning, I'm going to humbly come and kneel here myself because I want to keep praying that prayer, come Holy Spirit. I want to pray that prayer myself, come Holy Spirit, and make me more into a person like Jesus. But I think there are husbands and wives who may need to come today, old and young who may need to come today, people who have been Christians for many years or people new to the faith who today may need to come and join me. You can stand, you might want to kneel, you might want to sit, you might want to simply say, Lord, I need you. I give you all of my life. I give you this part of my life. I don't want to live in compartments anymore. I want to be free of sin. I want to be in your will. And in this season, in the journey of Crossway, I want to be free and ready to be all that I can be in this church community as we love and serve the city and the nation and the nations around us. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church.
For more information about Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.